left off in the previous year, we were discussing precisely when the Isuri Avelus begin. The Gemara tells us that the counting of Avelus begins at a later stage, what's called Stimus HaGolel, which according to most of the Poskim, that means Kvura. We saw that every once in a while you have a situation where the Avelus kicks in at a little bit of a different time. Either it's not going to be a Kvura in the Siyashim L'Kavro, or people aren't going to the Kvura when they turn back from the Kvura. But again, but the basic halacha is that it follows the Kvura. That's in terms of the counting of the Shiva, counting of the Shloshim. What about in terms of the Yisurim themselves? In that interim period between the Misa and the Kvura, so are the Avelim required to observe Avelus? Can they shower? Can they shave? Can they wear shoes? All the different things that are associated with the Yisurim Avelus. So do we say, since the count hasn't begun yet, so then they're Onanim. So whatever an Onan can do, an Onan can't have Basar, can't have Yayin, can't do Mitzvah. So those Dinim, of course, apply. But the Yisurim Avelus don't start. So everything is on hold in terms of the Yisurim Avelus. So do we say no? Do we say that the Yisurim Avelus begin from the beginning, from the time of the Misa? When we say that the Avelus doesn't begin until later, that means the count doesn't begin, the minyan of Shiva doesn't begin, but the Yisurim do begin immediately from the moment of the Misa. So we pointed out that was a big machlekes Rishon, machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban. Even according to we're knowing, the Ramban, the more possible like the Ramban, that the Yisurim Avelus do begin, the Ramban himself conceded that some don't. Any Yisurim Avelus that are going to interfere with the Kvura, so Chazal gave you a freebie on that. So one of the examples being the Ilsa Sandal, that according to the Ramban, you don't have to go run to take off your shoes, because running around barefoot is going to interfere with the Kvura. That's what we said. Some people can say Bismanazet Takidu, because Bismanazet can wear sneakers and Evshlakam Shneim. So again, that was the nuances in terms of the Machlekes, the Ramban, and the Ramban. But conceptually, there's something perhaps much deeper going on here between the Ramban and the Ramban. Why is it that according to the Rambam, it's not possible for the Yisurim Avelus to begin yet, whereas according to the Rambam, they do. So the Rav explained that conceptually what's going on is something basic, something very fundamental to the whole nature of the Yisurim Avelus in the first place. The Rav explained that according to the Rambam, the reason why it is inconceivable to have Yisurim Avelus before Kavura is because the count is not starting yet. That everybody agrees. That's the starting point of the whole sugya. You don't start the day one of Shiva before the Kavura. So the Rav said, but that's a Rambam, how can you speak about Yisurim Avelus? Yisurim Avelus based on what? You're going to tell a guy he's not an Avel, he's not quote unquote sitting Shiva, he's not knowing the first day of Shiva, it doesn't count yet, the day is a blank day, and take off your shoes, and don't take a shower, and don't shave, and don't come shell show. So the Rav said, based on what? The Yisurim Avelus, according to the Rambam, are part of a kiyum of Avelus. There aren't Yisurim, but it's not like don't eat chazer. It's not like don't wear shatnez. It's a mitzvah Avelus. The mitzvah Avelus is a kiyum of Avelus to observe the week of Shiva, to observe the 30 days of Shloshim. So part of the observance of Shiva means you observe Shiva by refraining from X, Y, and Z. So Kozman, that you're observing Shiva, we could speak about refraining from X, Y, and Z. Kozman, that you're not observing Shiva, just to observe an Isra Avelus without a Kiyum of Avelus, very brisker terminology. Isra without Kiyum doesn't make any sense according to the Rambam. The whole essence of Avelus is a Kiyum of Shiva Shimei Avelus. And it's on that Nakuda that the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no. The Ramban says, there's, in a sense, the positive mitzvah, the counting of the Shiva, the 7 days, the Kiyum of Avelus Luchud, and Isra Avelus Luchud. That you can have an Isra Avelus without a Kiyum Avelus. You can have a person who's an Avel vis-a-vis Yisurim, and not an Ovel vis-a-vis Kiyumim, not an Ovel vis-a-vis the counting of the positive count of 7 days. So therefore, this interim period, this window between the time of the Misa and the time of the Kavura, so according to the Ramban, it's very possible that there should be Yisurim here. Yisurim Avelus can't exist in a vacuum, according to the Ramban. Yisurim Avelus are not bound to the positive aspect, the positive dimension of Kiyum Avelus. So this machlekes in the Ramban and the Ramban, of course, goes now much deeper than just the details. Can the person shave? Can he not shave? Can he shower? Can he not shower? It's a fundamental question about the relationship between the positive and the negative sides of Avelus. Does the negative exist only in the context of a positive, or does the negative exist in a life in and of itself? So the Rav explained that this machlekes spills over to another case also. You could also have another scenario where there is no positive counting, there's no kiyum of Avelus. L'mashal on Yom Tov. So the person passes away and is buried before Yom Tov, so there's no Avelus at all, and Yom Tov cancels the entire Avelus. Whatever stage of Avelus he's up to. What if a person is Nifta on Yom Tov, or on Chol HaMoed, and the person is buried on Yom Tov and buried on Chol HaMoed? So what happens in terms of the Avelos? So the Gemara says, Beferish, that the counting of the Avelos is put on hold. The days of Shiva don't begin yet. The Avelos starts to count if the Yontif is over. How exactly do you calculate that? That's already a further question. The Yontif Sheni, the Frisha, they're ready. We'll get to that at a later stage in the game. But the Mishnah is Beferish that Kol's man that the Avelos didn't begin before Yontif started, so the Avelos was still put on hold. So it's not considered, it's the third day of Chol HaMoed, but it's not called the first day of Shiva yet. The question is it shaykh to sukkah about Isuri Avelos at that point? Can you even begin to have Isuri Avelos in the context of Yomtif, where there is no Kima Avelos? There are no 7 days. You're not counting day one because it's Yomtif, because it's Chol HaMoed. Can we still have such a concept of having Isuri Avelos? So one has to be very careful when you speak about Isuri Avelos on Yomtif or Chol HaMoed. It's not going to be real Avelos. It's not going to be mom sitting on the floor with your shoes off the whole 9 yards, because that's going to be a violation of Avelos for Hesia. So that's not even up for discussion. It's not going to be any better than Shabbos. Shabbos does count towards Shiva, and there's no public manifestation of Avelos. So if we're going to discuss the possibility of Avelos on Yom Tov, it's going to be a very, very limited Avelos. It's going to be what we call Avelos Bitsina. Maybe no Tashma Shemita, maybe no washing, and maybe only learning, not learning the Bitsina types of scenarios. It's going to be a very, very watered down kind of Avelos. So it doesn't exist altogether. So that was the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Rambam. So the Rambam, based on his reading of the Gemara, Maseches Ksubos and Makaton, so the Rambam concluded that when a person was Kovers Mesa Beregel, he buries his mace on Yom Tov for Chol HaMoed. So the Rambam says nothing happens. It's mamish business as usual. So a regular Yom Tov, according to the Rambam, there's no Avelos. Not for Tzidin, not for Hesia, mamish Gornish from Gornish. It's a regular Yom Tov, regular Chol HaMoed. Everything is put on hold until after Yom Tov is over. This is not surprising. So the Rav explained, this is the Rambam L'shita Asoi. If the Rambam holds that how can you tell the guy to observe Isuri Avelos? How can you tell the guy not to shower? How can you tell the guy not to have Tashmish Shabbat? How can you tell him to do anything on Yom Tov? There's no day one of Avelos. There's no day three of Avelos. There's no day five of Avelos. There's no Kibbutz of Avelos. If he's not counting the Shivas Yom Avelos, then you cannot begin to discuss Isuri Avelos. Isuri Avelos, according to the Rambam, don't exist in a vacuum. Just as they don't exist pre-Kvura, so too they don't exist on Yom Tov. And the Ramban, not surprising, disagrees. The Ramban holds that the Avelos does begin on Yom Tov. Not the count of Avelos, the count is after Yom Tov, but the Isur Avelos begin on Yom Tov. Again, even according to the Ramban, it doesn't mean all the Isur Avelos, because you have to be concerned with Avelos before Hesia, but at least Avelos Betzina will begin on Yom Tov itself. So how do we paskin the Halacha? So we paskin like the Ramban there also. We paskin like the Ramban, both in terms of that there is Avelos pre-Kvura, and like the Ramban, that there is a quasi-Avelos from Shabbatzina on Yom Tov. It's a little bit of a pella on the Shulchan Aruch, because according to the Shtipul Torah of the Rav, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't match up. The Ramban matches up perfectly, Amminig matches up perfectly, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to match up, because the Shulchan Aruch also paskins like the Ramban in Hilchos Yom Tov, but the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that there are no Isuri Avelos pre-Kvura. So the Shulchan Aruch is not mechuyav to every Shtipul Torah from the Rav. So, Shulchan Aruch can have his own beer in the sugya. But at least the way the Rishonim seem to line up, the Rambam, the Rambam, the Rambam, the Rambam, the Rambam, the Rambam, everything is l'shit haseinu. So it seems to be a fundamental question. Can you have Yisur Avelos without a Kima of Avelos? And we seem to ask, and the answer is yes. There is a concept of Yisur Avelos without Kima of Avelos, either based on either in a scenario of pre-Kavura, or in a scenario of on Yom Tov, the person is covered in Yisur Avelos. This machlekes of Rishayim between the Rambam and the Ramban, probably machlekes of Chaber and the Ramah, is there an idea of having Isuri Avelos before the Kvura? So what are some of the Isuri Avelos that we would be discussing? We're talking about showering, we're talking about shaving, we're talking about shoes, we said probably not so relevant, other kinds of things, the regular classic Isuri Avelos that we usually think about. So probably one of the Isuri Avelos that should also be up for discussion should be Tashmish Shemitah. Would it be permissible for the couple to have relations in that interim period between the Misa and the Kvura? So they wanted to be together, would that be prohibited or not? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, it should be a machlokes rishon. According to the Ramban, it's obviously going to be also. According to the Ramban, it's not going to be any better than washing. It's not going to be any better than taking a haircut. So according to the Ramban, since Tashmish Shemitah is one of the dinim that's also during the week of Shiva, so according to the Ramban, it would be obvious as an issur Tashmish Shemitah in the period of Aninus as well. What would the Rambam say about this? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, according to the Rambam, it should be mutter. Because according to the Rambam, based on what are you going to answer it? Everything's mutter to proven also. So based on what halachas are going to dictate that you can't have Tashmish Shemitah? Hilchos Avelos? He's not an awful yet, according to the Rambam. Hilchos Aninos? We only find that ninus, that's a nisr of mitzvahs, that's a nisr of making brachas, of davening. So we don't find it. It's a nisr of tashrish amita. So maybe one should argue that according to the Ram, it's takam mutter. It's not lahalach, it's an irrelevant shayla for us, because we're machriya, the Ramaz machriya like the Ramban. But in the worldview of the Rambam, in the Shekhanach, those who say that there are no isuri avelos without kiyumi avelos, so what should the din be about tashrish amita? So here there's a split in the Rishonim. Again, this is all within the shita of Rishonim that we don't really accept the halacha, but it's still, conceptually, it's important for us. We have to learn everything. We have to learn even the shitas that we don't paskin like. But within the shita of Rambam, what would the din be concerning tashrish amita? So one of the Rishonim says, it'll be mutter. It's not a mutter. It's mutter. Finish. You can't ask for it al avelos. You can't ask for it al taninos. You pick your issa. Neither one of them fits. So then it remains. Strangely enough, it remains mutter. So other Rishonim say, no. Other Rishonim say, it can't be. It's inconceivable that the halacha should permit a couple in the state of aninos, the husband and wife in the state of aninos, to be together. It's not shayach. Well, not shayach. So tell me an issa. Name me an issa. So somebody Rishonim say, I'll tell you why it's asr. It's asr atzuchas aninos. Where does it say nuchas aninos? The whole sugi of aninos is in the beginning of the third parak of brachas. So the Gemara spells out exactly what an onion is not allowed to do. An onion is not allowed to have basa, and not allowed to have yayin, and not allowed to do mitzvahs, and not allowed to make brachas, and not allowed to have omit. Those are the things that an onion can do. Why should you think that some isra applies to tashrish amita? So come some Rishonim and say, it's part of aninos. You know why? Why is it that an onion can't do these things? Why can't an onion have basar? Why can't an onion have yayin? Why can't an onion do mitzvah? What's the goal of all these halachas? So the answer is very simple, that the whole goal of aninos is to get things done as quickly, as efficiently as possible. We're trying to convince, in a very, very strong way, the onen, that your mitzvah right now is misha makes a mutl of fun of. So you got to call the chav kadisha, you got to make tachrichim, you got to dig an or, you got to make an or, you got to dig a kever. Or b'zman is there, you have to write a hesped, you have to make sure people know about the levaya, you got to arrange for plots, you got to arrange for airlines, you got things to do. So the halacha says that anything that's going to distract you, anything that's going to take your mind off of what you're supposed to be doing, so that's the antithesis of what aninus is all about. Therefore, you can't do mitzvahs. You can start doing mitzvahs. Can't take care of the Aaron right now because he's got to go learn Daf Yomi. He can't write a hesped because he's got to go daven shacharis. That's not right. So anything that's going to interfere, anything that's going to take your mind off of what you're supposed to be focusing on during this short interim of time, those are the surim of aninus. So you have mitzvahs, brachas, boss of yayin also. Why is it that an onion can't have boss of yayin? An oval's allowed to have boss of yayin. An oval's drunk shiva's allowed to drink wine. An oval's allowed to have meat. The Rashbam's opinion is that during a Suda Savroi, he's supposed to give the oval a little bit of wine. Through yayin l'sheichel, through yayin l'ovid, v'sheichel mor nefesh. The Gemara says that, lo nivra yayin al nachim ba'avelim, that you give a little bit of wine, it'll calm the person down, not to make him drunk. You give an oval a little bit of wine, so that'll be like a form of a nichim avel a little bit, it'll calm them down a little bit. So whether we follow that or don't follow, it's a different story, but nobody says there's an issa for an oval to have wine. Nobody says there's an issa for an oval to have boss. Oval tzveishik, the weakest shiva, there's nothing wrong with that. So why is it that an oinen is not allowed? So the answer is, when you sit down at the boss of a yayin, it's a boss of a yayin, that's a meal. An oinen is not mechuyav to starve. He doesn't have to have fast the whole day, but he has a quick bite. It's a bowl of cereal quickly. It's a quick bagel or something. It's something. Sit down to have a fleshik meal with boss of a yayin, he's going to end up not taking care of the mace. So those kinds of activities that are interfering with his mindset of getting ready for the kufra, those are the things that the halacha prohibits. So some of the Rishonim write, Ein lecha davra amoneo, so yos mitashra shamita. The guy, instead of taking care of what he's supposed to be doing, he's going to go to be with his wife. That's not appropriate. That's something that's going to distract him. So even though Chazal maybe didn't spell this out, literally, Baruch HaMikra Ketana, that this is Aser, it's understood. Of course it's Aser. It's Aser al-Tuchus Aninos. It's the same Isra as Basri Yai. It's the same Isra as doing mitzvahs and making brachas. It's all part of the picture of what Aninos is all about. That's what some Rishonim say. And other Rishonim say, we can't really call it Aninos. Ein lanu l'chadesh me'atzmeinu. The Chazal didn't list it in the official Isur of Aninos, so we can't call it Aninos. So what can we call it? So other Rishonim write, you don't have to call it anything. You don't have to call it Avelos. You don't have to call it Aninos.
Just call it not right. Call it Kalas Rosh, some Rishonim right. How can it be? It doesn't make any sense. The person's relative just died, and the person's together with his wife. It's just a steer, such a lack of sensitivity. Kalas Rosh Golem is that. So it's also, even though we can't formally categorize it in any particular halachic, categorization, it's also anyway. So you have different shittas in the Rishonim. What's the story of this Tashma Shamita? Is there an issa, not an issa? So according to the Ramban, it's a moot discussion, according to the Ramban, Tashma Shamita during Aninus is also because you can't take a shower during Aninus. You can't cut your hair during Aninus. You can't do anything during Aninus. The only thing, maybe you can wear shoes. Maybe. Even that, we're not even sure if his man is there. So according to the Ramban, that all the Isurim are noeg b'shas Aninus, even though the Shiva didn't begin yet, so of course Tashma Shamita is no less. But within the Shittas and Rambam, so you have three different possibilities in the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim say, it's not a mutter. Some of the Rishonim say, it's part of Aninus, even though it doesn't say it explicitly in Chazal. And other Rishonim say, it's not Aninus, it's not Avelus, it's something else, but it's still Aser anyway. Why are the Rishonim spending so much time, trying to figure out what's the din of Tashma Shamita? Why would one think this is an issue? What exactly is prompting this whole discussion? So what's compelling to Rishonim to have this long discussion about the status of Tashma Shamita pre the beginning of the actual of Avelus, pre Kvura, is based on what appears to be a steer in Gemaras. There seem to be two statements in Chazal that actually talk about this very topic, and it's unclear what the Gemara said about this topic, and that's what gets this whole ball rolling. So the two sugyas that touch on this topic, one is the sugya Maseches Brachos, and one is the sugya Maseches Ksubos. So just take a step back, just a little bit, to learn the sugya in Maseches Brachos, and a little bit the sugya Maseches Ksubos, and understand where the Rishonim are coming from, why this became a whole discussion, a whole major issue in the Rishonim, what's the halach of Tashma Shamita in this small window of time. The sugya Maseches Brachos does talk about Tashma Shamita in the context of Aninus. I over-dramatized it a little bit. I said, there's no Gemara that says anything about it. It's not true. There is a Gemara that says something about it, but the Gemara talks about the unique case of Aninus. The Gemara talks about the Einan and Shabbos. What's the din of an Einan and Shabbos? We spoke about this already several weeks ago. Since the whole status of Onein is predicated on the assumption that the person is supposed to be taking care of the kfur. That's the goal of Aninus. That's why you can't have Bosin, that's why you can't have Yayin, that's why you can't make Brachas, that's why you don't daven. It's all goal-oriented to get the person to be involved in the kfura. And obviously on Shabbos, when that's not an option, what do you want for the guy? You want him to write a Hesped on Shabbos? You want him to call the Chavar Kaddish on Shabbos? You want him to dig a Kever on Shabbos? What's he supposed to do on Shabbos? So he's not doing anything productive anyway, so let him go to shul. He has to sit here and twiddle his thumbs all morning. Let him go to shul Shabbos morning. Let him daven on Shabbos. Let him do whatever he would normally do on Shabbos. So that's the din. That's not the din. Shulchan Aruch. Then an onein on Shabbos is nishken onein. So if a person passed away, let's say late Friday afternoon, they didn't get around to doing the kvur yet. So the mace, everything is put on hold till after Shabbos. So for those 24 hours, he goes to shul Friday night. He davens. He makes brachas. He makes kiddush. It's everything. When Shabbos ends, then everything changes. But for that, for the period of Shabbos itself, so he's considered to be an effect on hold. The whole status of Aninus is put on hold. It's interesting. The folks come up for discussion. What about when exactly does Shabbos start for these purposes? What about like a few minutes before Shabbos? Oh, that's right before Shabbos. What's he going to possibly do? Well, he's going to call the Chavadisha 3 minutes before Shkia. Well, what's he going to do? So some folks can say that his Anita status doesn't end literally when Shabbos begins. His Anita status ends as we're getting very, very close. It's otot, right before the end. There's nothing all that much for him to do. So he's already ois oidim. So my nafkamin ladina. So we had a shayla here. Mice. We had a shayla here a couple of years ago. It's a strange shayla. That a person whose mother passed away on Friday, and they didn't have enough time to get the kvura in. And it happened to be, that day was his father's yahrzeit also. It was the same day. His father died 20 years earlier. Same exact day. That was the yahrzeit. So now it came mincha time, so he wanted to say Kaddish. So he wanted to say Kaddish for his father's yahrzeit. On the other hand, an einein generally doesn't say Kaddish, doesn't come to daven, doesn't have mincha. I think he wanted it down for the yomid also, whatever it was. So the question is, can he daven for the yomid als yahrzeit, even though he's still technically quote-unquote an einein? So I said to him, it depends when you daven. If you want to daven mincha gedolah at 1 o'clock, then that would be inappropriate. Then you're an einin. So you're an einin for your mother. You can't say you can't daven for the yomer for your father's yahrzeit. But if shkia is 4:30 and we're davening mincha at 4:20, so at 4:20, you're going to call the cemetery, they're not going to pick up the phone. There's nothing, the not going to help you at 4:20. So at 4:20, there's nothing practically for you to do anymore. So it could be your eisining at that point. So you could really daven if it's strange. We shouldn't take a Shabbos out. Anyway, get back to the story. So the Gemara Maseches Brachos in the third part talks about, what does this Onin do? You have this guy who's an Onin, who the Aninus was just put on hold for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what's his status vis-a-vis Tashmish Hamita on Friday night? He wants to be with his wife on Friday night. What's the din? So the Gemara quotes, believe it or not, Machlekes HaTanoim. So one Tana says, yeah, he can be with his wife, it's not a problem. He's not an Onin, he's not an Onin. And the other Tana says, no. The other Tana uses a phrase that he's Eina Mishamish Mitaso. He's not Mishamish Mitaso on Friday night, Mishasa Nizas. So the question, what does that mean exactly? So doesn't this Gemara sound like it's Taka also? Doesn't the Gemara sound that even on Shabbos he's not allowed to have Tashmish Amita, even though he's not really an Onin anymore, but Lagabi Tashmish Amita was so machmir that even on Shabbos it's also. What do we spend 20 minutes discussing, is Tashmish Amita drawing Anidas also, is it Mutter, Kuntar, Ram, and Ramban, and this Rishon, that Rishon? It's the Gemara. This is Pemole that he doesn't have Tashmish. So the Rishonim point out that if you look carefully in the Gemara doesn't say that it's also from Tav Tashmish. The Gemara has a lashon that he's not chayev tef tashmish. He's not mechuyev, even though normally a Friday night would be a normal night of ona. You can't tell this guy that he has to have tashmish on Friday night. His relative just died 2 hours early. He's waiting to have a levaya tomorrow night, and you're going to tell him you're mechuyev in the midst of ona. You can't tell that to a guy. It's not fair, so to speak, to say it to the guy. The Gemara never says it's also. So according to half the Rishonim, the Gemara says, according to some Rishonim, the Gemara is leaving up to the person. It's rishus. If he wants to, he wants to. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't want to. It's not mechuyev to. But to say that it's aser, there's no iser. According to one group of Rishonim, the Das and Rambam, there's no iser even on a weekday. There is no iser for an Onin Tef Tashmish Amita. We can't insist on it. We can't be mechayev him. We can't say he's mechuyev out the mitzvah's owner to do it. But in terms of, does he want to? He wants to. He wants to. And other Rishonim say no. When the Gemara says, Einu Mishamish Pitasu on Friday night, what that means is, he's not allowed to, because he's Takan Einin. He's not an Onin for everything else, but for this he is an Onin. For the Vam Shabbatzin of Tash, but she is considered to be an Onin. So we have this whole Lomdisha discussion in the Rishonim. What's the status of Tash Mishamita between Misa and Kvura? Is it Asr? Is it Mutter? Is it Asr Altsaninus? Is it Asr Altsavelus? Is it Asr Altskalus Rosh? We can't quite pinpoint why it should be Asr. And we have a Gemara that says that you don't do it, but it's not clear in the Gemara. Did the Gemara say you don't do it, it's also to do it? But the Gemara say you don't do it because it's just not a chiyuv to do. But if you want to, it would be permissible. So we had what we thought was an explicit Gemara in Maseches Brachos. We just came to the conclusion that the Gemara is telling us nothing. That we can't tell anything. Can't figure out anything from this Gemara what the story is. Any other Gemaras that shed light on this? So there's a very famous sugi in Maseches Ksubis. Hopefully we'll talk about this later on in Hilchos Aveilos. A very famous sugi that appears in Nafdal in Maseches Ksubis. The beginning of Ksubis is a very common thing to be learned in the yeshivas. So most yeshiva this year were learning Ksubis, we'll learn the third part of Ksubis. Because Les Gilgal, 12 years ago, just in case there's anybody around from 12 years ago, so we're learning, last time we learned the first parak, now we're learning the third parak. So when most of the yeshivas, when they stuck Ksubis in the first parak, so they get to the sugi and Afdal, and this is where most of Shiva Bachim, their entrance into Hilchos Aveilos. The Maseches Merkotin is not usually on the regular yeshiva curriculum, so most Bachim don't tend to learn these sugis b'ion, but anything that they don't know Hilchos Aveilos, they usually get from Ksubis Afdal. So what is the Gemara saying, Ksubis Afdal? So the Gemara is talking about, at the beginning of Ksubis, talking about a couple who just got married, and a terrible tragedy strikes. It's called Misha Mesa, Abim Shachasin, or Ima Shokala. You have a case where a couple is just about ready to get married, and the Gemara describes that they prepared the whole meal already, they shechted the animals, they prepared the wine, everything is ready to go, and Nebuch, the father of the Chasin dies, or the mother of the Kal dies, and now you're in a big, big dilemma. What are you doing? On one hand, you want to have a wedding, the other hand, you have to have a levaya. You want to sit Shiva, you want to have Shiva Shiva Mishnah, what do you do? So the Gemara explains that it's a tremendous hefsed mamon, because the food is already prepared. You're ready, the cater's ready, everything sitting on the table's already. The Shmomus bud is ready. The Gemara says, Mishaya Tifchot Tavuch, the meat is shechted and the wine is poured, everything is mamash ready. If you're going to cancel the wedding, put it off for a few weeks, it's going to be a tremendous loss of money. So what do you do? So Chazal said that we're very concerned, number one, in terms of Hefsed Mamon, and number two, if it's the father of the Chassan, or the mother of the Kala, even if we're going to tell him to throw out all the food, and you find another, you sell off the food to somebody else, who's going to make the wedding next time around? So in a month from now, who's going to prepare? The father of the Chassan is not alive anymore. The mother of the Kala is not alive. The people who are In the olden days, the father, the chosin, helped out in terms of the chosin, and the mother, the kala, helped out in terms of the kala. And now, it's going to be very difficult for this couple to get married. So therefore, Chazal gave an unbelievable head, an unbelievable break. Chazal said, the show must go on, the wedding goes on, you know, the couple gets married, even though the relative Mamash just died. So Gemara says, how do you do that? That's wild. How do you do such a thing? So Gemara says, what we do is as follows. We put the Levaya on hold. Something that we would never, ever dream of doing under normal circumstances. We delay the Kavura intentionally. Mamash, on purpose, we delay the Kavura. We have the Chasana before the Kavura. So the Gemara says that if they're about to go to the chuppah and the relative dies, so machnisin es a mace lecheder, you take the mace and put it into a room, lock the door, right, put a shermer there, leave the mace inside, and you go to the chuppah, and you go, once you go to the chuppah, so then the halacha is, once the couple is married, it's called bo bilas mitzvah perish, the couple's allowed to be together, the mamash allowed to have tasha shemitah bilas mitzvah, and at that moment, once they have nisuin, and they have kenis l'chuppah, and they have bilas mitzvah, so now they become mamish married couple, they become chuyiv in the mitzvah of shivis ben mishta. So shivis ben mishta, they're allowed to have a mishta, so they're allowed to have the chasana meal. So they become mechuyev in simcha, and they have not yet become aveilim, because the kavur hasn't yet happened. So now what do you do? So the Gemara says, once the couple was well with this mitzvah of pareish, they separate, then you go do the kavura, and now you have a very, very modern situation. Now you have either the chasana or the kala, on the one hand, has to observe shivasimei mishnah, on the other hand, has to observe shivasimei aveilos. What comes first? So the answer is, well, the Shivasimei Mishta came first, because they kicked in first. Since they got married before the Kavura, because remember, getting married is the beginning of the Shivasimei Mishta, the Kavura is the beginning of the count of Shiva, Kol HaKadim Zacha, because we pushed it off. We pushed off the Kavura. Even though, technically on the clock, the person died before the Chasana, but that doesn't matter. Dying doesn't matter. What matters is the moment of Kavura. So we artificially pushed off. We created a scenario that the Shivasimei Mishta began before the Shivasimei Avelos. So now the couple's allowed to party, allowed to celebrate. So they can eat all the meat and all the wine. They can have all the whole week of Shivasimei Mishta. But they have to observe Avelos at some point. So the Gemara says, yeah, after the Chasta is over, after the Shev Rach is over, then they can go sit in the Chasta of the Kaaba, as the Avel, go sits on the floor, takes off the shoes, and goes observe Shivasimei Avelos. It's almost the same as Yom Tov. That's the Gemara compares it to. It's like when somebody dies on Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed, you continue observing Yom Tov, and then after Yom Tov is over, then the Shivasimei Avelos kick in. So this is more complicated than Yom Tov, because here, we had to jump the gun. We had to get the Shivasimei Hamishta starting off first. They shouldn't really have started first. What really should have happened is the guy died first. So we should have buried him first, started the Avelos, then have the Chasana later. But we can't do that because of the tremendous Hasid Mamon. So therefore Chazal permitted you to reverse the order, to fake us out, so to speak, put the mace into the cheder, push off the levaya, get the chasana started, and after the chasana is over, the Shivasimei Hamishta kick in, you do the kfura, and then afterwards you have 7 days of Avelos.
No, they don't wait the full week to bury the mace, they just wait until
the couple has kenisa l'chuppah and bilas mitzvah.
Right.
After that.
The next day, the rest of the family could...
Yeah. Then for sure they bury the mace. Yeah.
The question begets another question. The chiyuv pura is on every korot.
Mm-hmm.
So, chasan kala is patra and maybe it's, you know, because of the simple hexagon that the child would go there. But if there's another korot that doesn't need the mishdate, had they freed themselves from their chiyuv?
Very good. So we're not freeing anybody, we're just delaying it. We're just saying, don't do it at 10 o'clock in the morning, do it later. We're not telling anyone not to bury anybody. We're just saying, don't bury them now. Hold off until the chasana is over. So the question is, I think what underlying both of your questions is, wait a second, isn't there an iser to delay a levaya? Who says you're allowed to delay a levaya just like that? Isn't there a halacha, halotas ameis? So there's a machlekes rishonim about this. Some rishonim say that Chazal never permitted you to delay the levaya till tomorrow. That's out of the question. Chazal just said delayed for a few hours. Let's say if the person dies at 7 o'clock in the morning. So normally we would try to get the levaya in at 11 o'clock in the morning. So here we can't do that because the chasna is scheduled for 11. So do the chasna at 11, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then do the levaya. So Chazal never permitted you to push off till tomorrow. To push off till tomorrow would be an Isidir Aisa. You have to have a Kavur Babayom. That's what some Rishonim say. Another Rishonim say no. You can even push it off till tomorrow. Why can you push it off until tomorrow? Because the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin that the only time that delaying a levaya is considered to be usur is if you're doing it else bizoyim. If you're doing it because you don't care about the mace. That doesn't interest you. I'm busy, I gotta go do something else. But halinel l'chvodo, whatever is considered to be l'chavod ha-mace, so that's okay. That's why we delay levayas all the time. We wait till relatives come from Eretz Yisrael, we wait until this one comes down, we delay levayas. Whatever is considered to be l'chavod ha-mace is acceptable grounds to delay levaya. So some Rishonim say that this is also like a quasi covered mace. This is what the mace would want. The mace wants that his child's chasna should get ruined. So the mace, if you would have asked the mace beforehand, what do you want? He would have said, "Do me a favor, get my child married. Nothing will happen to me in the next few hours. We'll look for her afterwards." So that's also considered like a gather of halinei lechavodah. So no matter how you slice it, Chazal say that's okay. Chazal say beferish that it's okay.
It's a little awesome because we don't follow what the mace would want. Any other case, in other words, he can't be mochel the kavod, which is not his.
Right.
So it's interesting.
But here, when it comes to the Isra of Halonas Ames, the separate Isra min HaTorah of delaying Levayas, so the Mishnah is befeirish, that Isra is only violated when it's done derech bizoyan. It's not done derech bizoyan. This is not derech bizoyan. If we're doing this in the utmost respect, we're putting the mace on the side, and we're just doing everyone understands why we're doing it. We're not doing it because we are taking the mace and the lack of kavod. So whenever it's not done derech bizoyan, then it's okay.
So, husband's brother sits shiver right after.
So the chassan's brother, yeah. Everybody else starts sitting shiva right now. All the krovim sit right. The chassan is put on hold because it's family. It's a private yontif. It's basically the same model as yontif. The Gemara Beferish is the same model as yontif. Just as yontif, once yontif kicks in, so the yontif precedes the avelos. So too, the private yontif shiva shumei hamishka is preceding the avelos. So the chassan is the yontif. Nobody else is yontif. Right. They're already done. They're already finished. Right.
So he has to do the entire shiva.
That's not going to help you. So you have to shani if she was your mishnah. But what's an important point is this the exact same as yontif? So it's actually this gemara that's the source for the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban that we mentioned before about yontif. The gemara says that even though this chosan is observing the avelos afterwards, the first week he's celebrating, he's partying, he's having shevi brachas. The gemara says he's not allowed to be with his wife in that first week. After that beer is shown us, so he's not allowed to be with his wife, because Dvarim Shebetzina Noheg. Because private Avelus is Noheg, because it's like Yontif. So the Ramban says, that's a raya that on Yontif, private Avelus is Noheg. Remember we mentioned before that if a person is Kova Mesa Beregel, so he doesn't sit Shiva, quote unquote, but he still has to observe private Avelus. So the Ramban says that's exactly what this Gemara is saying. This is the exact same scenario as a Yontif scenario. And the Rambam says, no. The Rambam says, this is different than Yontif. This is not as good as Yontif. It's a private yontif. Private yontif is not so chum. It's not the same as a real yontif. So there's a lot of lomdus. That's where the shivas. Even they like the lomdus sugyas. They like the sugya in Davdala because there's a lot to talk about this sugya. But getting back to that story, so in the middle of this discussion, the Gemara says that this is really a tremendous kula that Chazal said. Really a mind-boggling kula that Chazal let the person do such a bizarre thing that the relative just died and now we're going to let them have tashma shavit. It's a crazy thing. He says, yeah, you're right. It's a really, really wild thing. It's a tremendous kula. And Chazal felt the need to make this kula and therefore we have to deal with this kula. So the Gemara analyzes that statement and says, what's the big kula? What's such a tremendous kula? What were you making when exactly? What was the big kula in Hilchos Avelos? The Gemara says that Chazal gave you an unbelievable break in Hilchos Avelos by letting you go ahead and doing this. The Gemara says, what's the big break? Taifa Shemitah? What's the big deal? The kfur didn't happen yet. What's the tremendous heter? So comes some of the Rishonim and say, the Gemara just said that the kfur didn't happen yet. So what's the big deal? It sounds like it's taka mutter. Means we didn't say anything's really anything that was us or is mutter. We just gave a regular normal psach like any other einain. If an einain would come and ask, is he permitted to be with his wife? The answer is yes. That's what some rishonim say. So most of the rishonim don't say that way either because of the Ramban or because of the Kalas Rosh or because of the Aninus, as we saw all the different reasons. So how do they make sense of this Gemara? So the other rishonim say, well, the Gemara means like this. This is not regular Hilchos Avelos. Even if you hold that Tashma Shemitah is also pre-Kavura, it's not also the regular Dinim of Shiva. Either it's also because of Aninus, or because it's also Kalas Rosh, or because it's also like the Ramban that some of these Surya Avelos do apply before, but it's not Shiva. So when all the Gemara says is, it's not a kula hilchas shiva, it's not a kula hilchas avelus. It may be cool in some other area of halacha, but it's not a kula hilchas avelus. So when the Gemara said, what do you mean it's not a kula? The Gemara didn't mean to say it's not a kula because it's mutter. The Gemara just said, it's not a kula altochas avelus. Maybe it's a kula in something else, but it's not a hilchas avelus a kula. So this Gemara, as striking as this Gemara sounds, when it says, oh, what's the big deal? It's okay. The Gemara never really meant it's okay, it's okay. The Gemara just meant it's not pure avelus that should have asked it. So when all the dust settles, we're still not sure what the answer to our question is. The Gemara in Brachas, we thought, said something? Not necessarily. The Gemara in Ksubas, we thought, said something? Not necessarily. So we still don't have a Raya Brewer. So at the end of the day, it's a pure academic question for us, because the Halacha, the Ramah, the Ashkenazim, followed the Minig HaRamban, that all the Yisuri Avelos begin pre the Kavura. So there's nothing to talk about anyway. But within the Chokhman of the Ramban, within the Saramban, so that would be a Shaila. Remember, I had the Shaila Mice in terms of the Yisuri Avelos pre the Kavura, as I mentioned last time. So when my father was Niftar, so he had, besides with the conditions that he had, in the end it was an infection and stuff. So I was in the hospital with him for many hours and days in the end of his life. So one of the doctors said to me, when his face was all over, so one of the doctors said to me, said, when you go home tonight, take a very, very good shower. So he said to me, you've been sitting in the ICU, you've been sitting in, and who knows what's going around. He said, go take washes up very, very well tonight when you get home. That's what he said to me. So another doctor said to me on the side, he said, so whatever infections are flying around here are not, I don't know, it's my focus, the doctors, whether that was a good svar, bad svar or not. So now, I'm the patient, I'm the layman. I said, I don't know who's doctors, right? We have a ruach hamira sakanta misura. I said, is it didn't hilchos Yom Kippur? One doctor says to eat, one doctor says not to eat. So you listen, the doctor says to eat, misafek. So I wasn't going to go be machriya what the answer to this question was. So normally I would think, the Ramah says, the minhag is like the Ramban, you don't really go take a shower when you're in Einid. But I figured, listen, I'll shalav sakana. So I remember going home that night from the hospital, and I was in Aninos. I took a very, very good, solid shower. So it held me over for a little while in terms of that shower. It wasn't the Torah's rechitza shel tainu. The person who rechitza shel refuah is hetagom even mamash nul shiva. That's the mission in brachas about istinus refuah. So things like that. That's for sure mutter. So again, I don't know the medically. I'm not. I can't be machriya which of the doctors are right medically. But apidin, it was the latest asafik for me. So I thought it was mutter the whole day. Even went to the Ramban to take the shower. So chopanim this was only the intro. This wasn't even what I really wanted to talk about. This was supposed to be the beginning part of the shir. I wanted to get to the next part. So from Mitzvah next, we'll get to the next part. This is real the shirayim of 2 weeks ago shir, in terms of the different isurim that are or not knowing during this interim time.